Hello, hello, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Covered It, as brought to you by the boys from Quack Golf. Of course, this podcast is brought to you by the King of Spain, Mr. Joe Lyons from Lyons Links, the reigning Spanish senior men's amateur champion. And I am joined today by the CEO and founder, Mr. Ben Scott of Quack Golf. How are we doing?
Shani, that's I feel so important after that. Thank you. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Yeah, after a long time since I've seen you on a Zoom screen.
In the booth. I'm also joined by Mr. Mark Fox from the Plug Live. Mr. Foxy, how are we doing? What's the crack?
Doing good. I feel a little bit under the weather. I've been to the doctor. They just told me it's from coming so close the past few weeks and plugged in series. So yeah, a few narrow misses, but I'm feeling good this week, Shani. It's the players week.
It's great to hear. Players week.
Did we get a return last week? I don't think I had any winners. Did you?
I had Will Zalatoris, who finished fourth, I think, and he got me, I have 15 billies each way, who got me 90 billies back in the end.
That's not bad. Look,
we have had a return every week of the last 7 weeks, I'd say. We may not have made profit, but like at least there's something happening.
There's something there. Yeah, before we crack into next week, or to talking about last week in the golf, if you have any shout outs, lads, get them ready. But I have a shout out here to a long time listener of the pod and an old friend, Stevie Sweets. I text him a couple of weeks ago, as I know he's kind of fresh and new into golf. And I heard that he had caught the golfing bug, and sent him a text just saying, how are you getting on? And he wrote back saying, it's taken over my life. Which is always great to hear from Stevie Sweets.
Love
hopefully
that.
You can dress yourself in all lovely quack gear for the summer. Any shout outs, lads?
Well, just touching on Stevie Sweets, he was a good member of the Quack Cup crew last year. So, and I think he's coming back this year. So excited to see the improvement now that he's been bitten by the bug.
Yeah, we'll see him down in Cairn for the Quack Cup. So sign up to the Quack Cup if you haven't already.
No, they're all gone. More places.
Okay, you missed your spot. Foxy, any shout outs before we get into it?
Quick shout out. I tweeted out last week saying that I had given out a Wyndham Clark's lie on the 18th hole on Saturday. And a shout out to the guy who tweeted back to me saying, how in the world do you have a golf podcast? So apparently I need to have qualified opinions on how people should be placing their club behind the ball.
Did you ask him where is his podcast?
No, I don't want to name him, but apparently you have to be a rules official. So congratulations about you having a golf podcast, being rules official. I don't deserve to be on here, so I just feel privileged again. I look forward to
tuning into that chap's podcast next week.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I wanted to segue into that tweet very early on in this. Did you see the incident, Shani, with Wyndham Clark placing his club behind the ball in the rough? And
I absolutely saw that. And can I let go here? Can I vent?
Yeah.
I've thought this for years. Like they absolutely improve their lies all the time, and they know what they're doing. They absolutely know what they're doing. Yeah. And it's very hard then for us not to, like, I was played nine holes the other night and a ball popped into the rough, like greenside. And I was like, oh, let's just do a little Wyndham Clark job here. And like the ball moves all over the place. Like it nearly rolls out of its spot. And, you know, and you really clear the space behind the ball. They know what they're doing. He knows what he's doing there.
What I will say, having spent a lot of time in the juicy rough of Bandon Golf Club as a kid, and like when you go into that deep stuff, everyone has done this before, where like you have to get contact with the ball first, or you're going nowhere. And like everyone has put their club down just so they can see the back of the white ball, just so they know they can chop down on it to get ball first and give yourself a chance of even just getting out 50 yards. So
like. Do you know what really annoys me actually about that is it's not just Wyndham Clark, it's all of them, right? And I think you can actually nearly sometimes make it worse as well if you do it, if you do what they do when the rough is that thick. But it's just something that you don't do. Like, you just don't do that. You don't improve your lie. It's like when you're in the barber's and you've finished your haircut and the girl like throws the mirror around to the back of your head and says, like, is this
Yeah.
okay? Like, you just always say yes, even if she's like made it an absolute catmelodeon of your head. You just say yes. You just do not say no. Please go
Could you add a
back
bit
and give
on?
me back my hair, please. So yeah, sorry, I've gone from 0 to 90 there, but actually,
Love it.
this isn't just it isn't just Wyndham Clark's incident this week. It happens every single week.
But Shani, here's the absolute worst part about this. He takes out a 60-degree wedge. He plants it behind the ball 4 or 5 times, and then he takes out an 8 iron or a pitching wedge or something to hit. Like, all he was trying to do was pat down the grass to get a little bit more club back on the back. And it's a disgrace. It's the 18th hole on a Saturday at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Arnie would be ashamed to see some of these players doing this. It's a
That was well spotted. I
shambolic.
didn't know that he ended up bumping and running it with an 8 iron, but that's well spotted.
But it's just,
Oh.
it's happening every week. Matthew Pavon did it when he stood down behind the ball. It happens every single day, multiple times a day, but it's only caught on cameras by a certain number of players. And if you're unlucky enough to be caught, it's a gray area.
Now, like, maybe we should do like some sort of a test where, like, maybe it looks worse on camera. I don't know. Like, do you know the way they say the camera adds 10 pounds? I don't
Stop
know.
eating
Like,
cameras.
maybe we should get an old camera and go out to the links and just see what it actually looks like.
I was
But
wondering why my
anyway.
face looks so fat in all these podcasts, but the thing is, it ultimately comes down to then who can cheat the best without being seen by a camera, and like, just stop it. Like, there's no point having 4-inch rough if some player's going to end up patting it down somewhere. And so, yeah, more
Look,
accountability in golf.
it's the dark arts. It's the Peter Romani in the scrum. It's all that sort of stuff. You play on the line. You try and get away with it. It works in pro golf. I'd say there's a whole lot of cheating that goes on. I know there's a whole lot of cheating that goes on in amateur golf. So,
Hell yeah. Yeah.
yeah. Anyway,
Yeah,
yeah.
good segue.
Simmer down after that.
Ben, any shout outs before we kick into the Arnie Palmer?
Just shout out to my guy Anthony Kim, 65. Like, he's officially back.
Did he shoot 65?
He shot 65 on the Sunday at LIV.
Was it not like 67 or something? Or like,
No, I think it was a par 70. He was 5 under. But like, still,
fair play. That's
look,
golf.
he's
That's
shown.
golf. Anyway.
Apparently, he's using off the rack clubs. He doesn't know what a TrackMan is. His
Yeah.
caddy's never walked a golf course in his life. He's really up against it, and he's managed to shoot 65. So I'm buying stock in AK.
He's kind of like the Austin Powers of golf now, isn't he? He's like, do you know, isn't it the spy who shagged me when he gets frozen and comes back like 30 years later?
Haven't
Like
seen Austin Powers
not
in a
knowing
long
what a
time.
track man is
Yeah.
mental.
Yeah. Did you see that he signed up to play in the Asian Tour event this week or next week or something as well?
Did
Did
he?
he? He's on. It's on. He's playing this week in Macau in an
Are you
event
joking me?
with a cut. This was going to be part of my some of my picks for this week, but I might as well get ahead of it. But
Yeah.
so Anthony Kim, he's in the field. I think there's 136 or something in the field. He's only 150 to 1. Like, the longest odds is
To
like
win it.
15. Yeah, the
I would
longest
say
odds are,
151 to make the cut.
yeah, that like the longest odds are about 1500 to 1. There's a couple of good players in and around 300 to 1, and I couldn't believe that Paddy Power had him at 150 to 1. I think that is, if any single person puts a euro on that, they need to be examined. That is he that
Yeah.
man he's not going to make the cut.
Not at all. Like, not
Yeah.
at all. Okay. Sorry, I know this is a golf podcast. We'll eventually get into it, but I just have a kind of an angry shout out at Tesco. Do you remember last season on the pod, I was giving out that since post-COVID they haven't brought back like free samples.
Yeah.
When you're walking around supermarket, I'm not sure if any of you have had a free sample in a while, but it's been a while for me. But now, my wife tells me that there is a machine in Tesco where you walk up to it, and there's not even a person standing there anymore, handing out little slices of ham, and you push a button, and she said an orange came out as a free
No.
sample. An orange.
Why do you need to sample an orange?
I know, we don't need to sample the oranges, like, you know? We want
Look.
a lovely old woman there standing,
With a
serving us
square of
Denny's
cheese.
ham, like Denny's
Yeah.
new creation, you know, their new
While
spice sausage.
we're giving out about supermarkets, my girlfriend Nefeli will tell you that I'm very much dislike doing the weekly shop, but she was away last week, so I had to go and do it. It's the first time I've been in Sainsbury's in a long time to go and do it.
Sainsbury's.
I gather everything. I've got a full basket. I'm just doing it. I get there and
Yeah.
they say there's been a national outage of their card machines and it's cash only. And I my full basket. I put it down in disgust and I walked out and I said I'll never go back to that Sainsbury's again. So all around supermarkets are down in my estimation.
Supermarkets are down. Okay. Right. The PGA Tour had an event last week called the Arnold Palmer Invitational. A man called Scottie Scheffler won at 15 under par. Who watched it?
Are we concerned that Scotty will never get beaten again now that he's discovered putting?
Mark?
Ben, the funny thing is, I said I was betting match. I don't know if you remember this, but I meant to bring up the clip. I was betting Matthew Pavon last week, and you go to me, Mark, are you concerned? What about if Scotty finds something with the TaylorMade Spider Putter? And I was like, Ben, there's not a hope in hell that's going to happen. And of course, that's the week that Scotty decides to find something with the putter. That's like, he wasn't even just decent with a putter. He gained four strokes putting, which is
Oh, I didn't realize.
astronomical.
Okay, I
Like,
didn't realize
he
he
was
was.
brilliant. He ranked
I
first in
thought,
the field
yeah.
on Sunday. And I know I don't want to segue into the players too early, but Kyle Porter tweeted this out that last year he bet the third place player by 7 shots and he gained 0 strokes with the putter. He was just completely neutral.
He doesn't even need to be gaining strokes. He just needs to be average, isn't it?
Yeah,
Like, there's
absolutely
been,
bang
yeah.
average. His ball
Like,
striking is so good that
yeah.
he just needs to be average with the putter and he'll win.
So you're asking, am I concerned? Like, there's two seasons of data now on Scotty with the same storyline. Basically, he's in
Yeah.
all categories, with strokes gained, tee to green, he's in the top 10 every week. So then he only basically needs to be an average putter 1 week to win. So definitely, yeah. He could have one of those, like, he could have a 2000 Tiger Woods.
What's stopping him doing the Grand Slam? Not to get carried away.
Yeah.
Like, I just, he's his ball striking is so good, tee to green. And like I said, if he can
But
just
sorry,
hold
can we
on
talk about his
to
ball striking for a second, Ben, right? Does it not really annoy you that the best ball striker in the world is the guy that's literally falling over on the tee box nearly every week?
What I want is a cack-handed golfer to get into the top 10 in the world. So all those hurlers will be justified for not switching because we have Scotty who's all over the place. It's
I
honestly, it's
don't understand.
mind-boggling how
Yeah,
he can
it's
strike the
mind-boggling, yeah.
ball. But is this not the thing? Like, I can't describe Scotty as lovable because Scotty is definitely not lovable. But the thing about Will Zalatoris is how vulnerable he can be with a 4 foot putt that relates to so many amateur golfers. And when I watch Scotty standing on a tee and he swings, he looks like a hurler on the sideline making a puck. And that's what makes him so relatable. But I'm kind of like, God, if he can be the number one player in the world, it just shows that they're not all just the same robots. Yeah.
Yeah.
Um,
That's the only
like
thing I like watching with one
Scotty.
like I'm really split down the middle. One part of me is like Scotty's never gonna lose another golf tournament. And then the other part of me is I think back to like Jon Rahm 18 months ago, he looked like he was never gonna lose. Victor Hovland at the end of the
Yeah,
FedEx Cup, and he's
of
suddenly
course.
fallen away. So it really does come and go, but it just feels different with Scotty because he's first in almost every category. I think on Sunday he was fifth stroke gains putting, was he?
Yeah.
Like so he like you said, he
It's
just needs to
definitely
hold.
different.
Yeah.
It's definitely different because you've got two seasons of the same crack
Yeah.
that going on there.
Yeah.
Like, but
Lad,
yeah.
can I just pose a quick question? Just when we're talking here, because everybody always talks about players having the lead. Who's your least favorite player to watch having the lead on Sunday? off the top of your head? I can go first here. Like Patrick Cantlay, I think is insufferable to watch with the lead. He's just, when things are going right for him, it just look like Scotty, you feel like it could go wrong somewhere. Patrick Cantlay, yeah. It doesn't ever feel like it's going to go wrong.
I can't name a specific player, but it's someone like Cantlay where if you know he's in the lead, it's going to be very boring. He plays golf like an old woman. He hits it down the middle. He puts it on the green. He kind of two putts. He picks up a few birdies. Not that I know that many old women that do that, but yeah. You know what I mean?
Sorry to the old women out there. Listen.
Funny enough, this is coming a few weeks after Cantlay bought the lead at Genesis, but just in general, you get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strangely enough, I really like Scotty now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why. He's starting to grow on me. But at the same time, he ruins golf events. Like he ruined Sunday there. I was really looking forward to that Sunday round, and he kind of just ruined it. So I don't like that about him.
I do think it's so funny how the PGA Tour and everyone who watches it has been up in arms about. Okay, the good players haven't been playing well enough at the start of the year, so it's the ratings have been down. And then at the Arnold Palmer, Scotty comes along and he plays really well and the ratings go down because he plays too well. And it's like we're chasing this perfect product where five of the top 10 guys in the world are in contention on Sunday, which might happen one event every year. But yeah, I agree, if Scotty just gets ahead of everyone, it does become a bit of a snooze fest.
I'd like to see Shane just relax a little bit. Like he gets, like, it's very easy to get aggravated on a golf course, but he really eats into himself, I feel, doesn't he? Like one bad shot and he gives himself such a hard time. He just seems like he's trying too hard or something.
I just can't help feel like he's feeling like the pressure is on a little bit. Like we mentioned it a couple of podcasts ago, I think, about how he's won three events in the last, or when's the last time he won, Mark?
The WGC. Championship.
He won Wentworth.
Oh, sorry, he won Wentworth.
Wentworth.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought we were talking about PGA Tour.
Well, on PGA Tour, yeah, he hasn't won like a run of the mill PGA Tour event.
Yeah. So
he was unlucky last year in the Honda, but he should just rack up one of those, yeah.
Yeah.
Zilly Zalatoris. I don't think I could ever put money on him to win a golf event. He just seems to constantly top 10.
Is he going to win one and then open the floodgates a little bit?
I know you put money on Zalatoris to win last week, but like what I'm saying is he himself must be even so frustrated. He must be thinking like I'm literally top 10ing every week and I haven't actually won any of these.
Do you think he's more frustrated or do you think he's more like happy that he's back? He's only played three events or four events since he came back from his back. And like
absolutely,
and he's recorded three or four top sixes in a row, three top sixes in a row or something like this.
Yeah.
Lads, it's coming. I'm telling you, he's gonna be on the 18th green this Sunday. I'm not going to spoil my spoilers.
Like, he's such a good, each way pick for the Masters, but just not to win it.
Yeah. I have an inkling that Mark might have him in his sheet again this week, by the sounds of it.
I am so deep in it that I can't get away now.
Okay, any final thoughts on Bay Hill or what's the closing stretch called?
No, you're thinking of the bear trap at the Honda.
Oh yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. Sorry, it's been a while since I've done a pod. Anyway,
Bay Hill. I don't get, there's a lot of hatred for Bay Hill. It's obviously a very difficult golf course and the rough is a bit too juicy. Again, that comes back to like people give out when they go out and shoot 25 under par and then they give out when it's too difficult. And then it's just like, oh, what do you want? It's not a perfect product. It's very hard apart from playing at Augusta, and we'd all get bored if they played at Augusta too much. Like it's just, let's just make do with what we have. It's a pretty good product. So I actually did watch quite a bit of Bay Hill, watched most of Sunday, or like the last stretch anyway, even though Scotty had kind of run away with it, have something on in the background. But I am looking forward to the players this week.
Oh, baby, the players. Let's get into it. Yes, the players at TPC Sawgrass, as you can see in my picture behind me, which you haven't asked about yet, is Sawgrass, which is the dominant plant of the Everglades.
That where the name of the course comes from?
Couldn't tell you. It grows in fresh and brackish water swamps and marshes and along lake shores throughout Florida.
Florida is very marshy, yeah.
So it's been a year since you've been to Sawgrass, Ben. So, do you miss it? Would you love to go back?
I would say probably 2 years since I've been there.
Oh, really?
But
Okay.
I think we did discuss it. Maybe
Last year,
no.
then.
It was good. I'm looking forward to watching it, having played very badly around there. Was battling a snap hook like I normally do, but it really, really ruined the day for me because
Oh, okay.
I couldn't get off the tee. Did hit 17 and three putted for bogey. Drove it in the water on 18. Honestly, it was a bad day.
But you know what's funny
But
actually is the 17th gets all the limelight, but the 18th is the 18th tee
yeah.
shot is a harder shot, I'd say.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, go on. I'm going to ask a question
I was
after.
going to say it has to be one of the best closing stretches in golf in terms of bringing excitement. Like 16, very gettable, but also there's a chance of drama on there. 17, obviously a great hole. And then 18 is a difficult par four. I'm pulling for some. Do you remember last year when Victor Hovland and somebody took a dodgy drop? Some American guy.
Yeah. Was it last year or 2 years ago? No, it was your man Berger.
Burger, Daniel
Daniel Berger.
Burger.
Where has he gone? Injured.
I think he's
He's
injured, is he?
back. Or does
Is
he
he
go
back
live?
now? Yeah, he's not playing this week, but he's had some decent finishes on the PGA Tour, but he is
Yeah.
officially back.
He played in the
There
Ryder Cup, like anyway.
there's a man who would put his wedge down behind the ball in the rough.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was the big argument last year. That was brilliant.
No, I'm looking forward to the players. I've got a couple of picks. Should we get into our plugged in picks for the week?
Yeah, let's do the picks. Let's squash the picks in.
Mark, you'll obviously give us some good detailed analysis before, but I just want to say I am locked into the fact that 14 of the last 16 winners have gone early late in Sawgrass. And I'm really struggling to get away with that. Like two or three in a row, that's a coincidence. A couple in a row, maybe you can do it on the weather. Why do players play better when they go out early on a Thursday and late on a Friday? Can anybody tell me that?
Maybe they know what the cut line is. I don't know.
Something like that, or even I don't know, hypothesis is that you have a bit more time to recover. Like
You have a break, yeah.
Sawgrass is the sort of spot that you have to think your way around. It's so brutally tough. That if you go Thursday evening, you have a bad round, it's very hard to turn that around for Friday morning compared to if you go Thursday morning, you can practice all day in the range Thursday afternoon, Saturday, Friday, and then get back out to it.
Yeah,
Now
yeah.
that you've said that, I would like to see the stats of all tournaments that
All
have done,
tournaments.
because
Yeah.
obviously it's
It's
such a
such a
dud to go late
disadvantage.
early.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're like flushing a Thursday night and you're like, okay, let's just like not go to sleep and just wait for the tea time in the morning.
Which
So, do we have 200 billies, is it? Or is it
yeah, let's
100?
do it. 200 billies, why not? We, Mark, Shani, you and me haven't even
Okay.
discussed this, but I've got a couple that I'll pitch to you,
Okay, so 100
and then
billies
we
on
can
Scotty.
100 billies on Scotty just to like cover our bases because there's a real chance that's going to happen.
Well, like, what is he? Five, kind of 5 to 1, is it?
Like that is such terrible odds for a golfer.
That's desperate
500
odds.
billies, easy work, easy work. He's predicted. He has a 12% chance of winning on
Yeah,
Daily
12,
Golf.
and he's only 5 to 1.
That's enormous for a golf event. The next person is Xander Schauffele at 4%, which we all know he's not going to win.
I know. Okay, look, because we have these bonus 100 billies, because it's the we're going to do it for the players and the four majors. I think let's just cover our asses on Scotty, 100 billies on that.
Like you can put 50 if you want and save 50.
No,
What like a
no.
large proportion of our billies has to go on Scotty.
Yeah. And he is playing the famous late, early late. So,
The
come
opposite.
on. No, he's
Oh no,
playing
he's
good.
playing the. Ah, well
Yeah.
then, 200 biddies on Scotty.
What I will say is, I've been doing some in-depth research into YR weather. Been looking at what the split, what it's looking like over there. Friday is looking mucky. It's looking Friday evening. So they actually reckon the advantage will be flipped, but after everything I've just said. So I've got three guys that I picked out, and they seem to be playing the what the weather would say, the better split late early. Wyndham Clark is at 45-1. Did he finish? Where did he finish last week? Pretty good. Come on, Mark.
He
This is
was
your
second.
second.
Second,
Second, yeah.
Clark. Yeah, he finished second. Yeah.
Like top six, seven player in the world, finished second last
Yeah.
week, and he's somehow 45-1. So I think we lump a load of money on that.
Okay.
I had Willie Z written down, but you're kind of putting me off that.
Oh, I just think he's gonna. He won't win.
Yeah, okay. He's 25-1. And then my other player, I've got Bae-Yong Ahn. He's 66-1. I feel like I've just heard it somewhere along the way that he's been playing well. Plus, he's a good follow on Twitter,
He's a
which
flusher.
he just passes the vibe test. Like, he's the type of guy I want to go and hang out with. So there are three guys. Maybe you can throw in someone else instead of Willie Z.
Well, do you have something on the Asian tour as well with Anthony Kim?
Yeah, but I don't want to back Anthony Kim.
No, we're not backing Anthony
If
Kim, but what? Yeah, okay.
I was to back anyone on the Asian tour, it would be Carlos Ortiz. But again, he's the favorite. He's 10-1. He missed out in a playoff last week in LIV, and he won the previous international series event beforehand. There's not much value in 10-1, but maybe we stick 20 billies
Okay,
on him.
well, can I pitch something to you then? Like, where has Victor Hovland been for the last few months? And surely he's going to show up this week and just appear out of nowhere. Could we put some billies?
I don't know what his odds are, but I think they're around Willie Z, and I just the way he's been playing, it just didn't look very appetizing. But
It
the
is
players
funny
throws up
though.
some weird stuff, like Ricky Fowler won it kind of out of nowhere. Do you remember when Tim Clark won the players? Like, what? That was so random.
Danny, so the problem with no, I'm not trying to tell you what to do. The problem with Victor Hovland is he came into the start of this year, and like he played so well last year. Won the Tour Championship, won the BMW Championship, won the Ryder Cup, fifth at the BMW PGA Championship, second at the DP World Tour. Then he came in this year and said he was changing his coach, and said
Oh,
that he
okay.
wanted to figure out more in his golf swing and gain a little bit more knowledge about it. And since then, he's gone 22nd, 58th, 19th, 36th. 19th is his best finish in four starts. For a man who won everything towards the end of last year and then goes and changes his coach, there's something wrong with Victor there.
Shani, here's an idea. 100 on Scotty, 25 each way on Wyndham, and 25 each way on Bae-Yong Ahn. Nice and simple. Three players.
I feel like I trust a man called Bae-Yong Yan. Let's do it.
He passes. He pa He's all vibes. He's all vibes.
All
Bae.
vibes. Foxy, what you got?
Yeah, that's a quick, so a little bit of information here about the course, because you're right,
Yeah,
Ben. It's
we need some.
excuse me, 144 players. It's top 65 and ties to make the cut. Defending championship champion is obviously Mr. Scottie Scheffler. Down at TPC Sawgrass, 7,200 yards, par 72, does 92 bunkers. That's the sort of information we all need to know. The last 4 years has been held in March. Scottie Scheffler, Cameron Smith, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, and before that it was held in May from 2018 previous. Okay, let me just start off my picks with. So things haven't really been going as well as we want. So every now and again, I like to bring up a little Chinese proverb, and I found this one the other day saying, failure is not falling down, but refusing to get up. And that's exactly how I feel once I make my picks every single week. So I'll go back to the grapevine. It's Will Zalatoris, 20 billies each way at 25-1. This is my third week in a row, purely for the reason that I feel like it's genuinely third time lucky. I feel more confident in Will Zalatoris to win the Masters than I do to win the Players, but he is striking the hell out of the ball. He's been in contention the last 2 weeks. I just feel like he's going to get over the line one time.
Okay,
Okay.
I like it. I
What
like it.
I've a few more things here. So that's 20 bills each way, Will South Horse. 20 to 1, Justin Thomas at for 20 billies each way. Lads, listen, I don't like the fact that Justin Thomas has the left miss going with the irons and the driver. It's an issue, especially around TPC Sawgrass, but he's won here before. He's been excellent since he came back in the PGA Tour again this year. He's been third at the AMX, sixth at the Pebble Beach, 12th at Phoenix, 12th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Yeah,
the irons have been brilliant. That's 20 to 1. Yeah, just like that. Okay.
Also on JT at the Players. Do you remember, was it last year when the weather got absolutely biblical? Maybe it might have been 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It got really, really windy. I think I heard Rory even mention JT's round in that wind, maybe around the Ryder Cup time when they were considering whether JT should get picked or not. But like Rory, I think JT was in such bad form that Rory said to JT, like, remember that round that you posted in the wind in at Sawgrass? I think it was a 69 or something. He might have been the only player to break 70 that day. So you know that boy can play, and when the conditions get nasty.
Oh God, you're speaking into existence here, Shani. I love it. But if you don't want to speak into existence, I might need a little bit of help with this one. It's Tom Kim, 15 billies each way at 60 to 1. Hasn't had his best start to the season. His best finish has been a T17 in seven starts of 2024. But listen, I kind of like the fact that he's on a Pete Dye golf course. He can hit fairways. He can put the ball in position. I just like Tom Kim this week. And then, lads, I have three bombs for the week before two other things. I didn't really saw me. Keith Mitchell, 10 billies each way at 100 to 1. He's gained strokes and approach in six consecutive starts, and the driver has been lethal. I put that in capital letters just to make sure I put some emphasis on that. Four top 20s in his last six starts and T13 here in 2022. K Mitch is dangerous, and he's coming here wire to wire.
I love that Keith Mitchell pick. I love Keith.
I just love Keith Mitchell, lads. I don't know why.
I know. I always forget that I love Keith Mitchell.
Yeah. I'd like to win something. I could really get behind it.
Each way bet. Sorry, that's got a quick one through. Nick Taylor, 10 bays each way at 100 to 1 as well. He won the Phoenix, had a hangover, and finished T39 at Genesis, but then he finished tied for 12th at the API. That's where I'm going, Nick Taylor, the Canadian. 125 to 1, Austin Ekroth, 5 billies each way. Faltered a bit at his API with T36, but remained hot on approach. He's averaging 5.1 strokes gain on approach in his last three starts, and like he just hits a lot of fairways. So,
Austin Ekroth. I like that a lot. Yeah, I would miscount a bad showing in the API just because it's a difficult course. Like, love that, love that pick.
And then, sorry, Shani.
No, work away.
I've two placement bets here just to finish us out. So I've 30 billies remaining, 170. I have a top 20 Woo double. It's Siwoo Kim and Minwoo Lee to finish within the top 20. Siwoo Kim, 2017 Players Champion. He's 27th and 90 in his last three starts. Three top 30s in his last four starts. And he's gained seven strokes ball striking at the Arnold Palmer. Minwoo Lee, T2 at Cognizant 2 weeks ago, T6 in his debut here last year. So that's one more bet, 25 billies at 10.25 to 1. And then I'll just name three players. Austin Ekroth, Doug Gim, Martin Laird, all to finish within top 20.
Martin Laird, 271
to 1. Ben, you might be laughing now, but you won't be laughing this time next week. It's his 14th time playing here, Martin Laird. Two top 10s in his last two finishes in the PGA Tour. Don't ask me why, but he's going to this treble at 271 to 1.
I'm going to be laughing when he misses the cut.
I won't be.
But overall, I like those. I like those, Mark. Good picks. Shani, I liked how you were texting me in the middle of that. You obviously were paying no attention to Mark. but... You sent a very provocative screenshot of the odds of a hole in one this week. I don't know what the number of hole in ones.
There's some lovely markets.
I feel like I heard that there hasn't been that many hole in ones, but what I'm willing to do is take 5 billies off each way for Wyndham and Bayong, and then that leaves us with 20 billies, and we stick it on a hole in one in round one at 10 to 1.
Yeah, I love
What
that.
do you think?
Can we? I'd love to go, because last year there was Aaron Rye and Shane, wasn't there?
I think
Was
there
there
was
two?
three.
Was
I
there
think there
three?
was three last year.
I think I remember a lot last year.
I feel like it'll be very dependent on where the pins are, and I obviously haven't researched that, but it that left
Yeah.
hand side feeder pin where Shane got his hole in
On number
one.
one. Yeah. Okay.
So
Yeah, let's go for it. We go like one on a 5-run round one and a 5-run round two.
Shani, I've worked it, so we've got a tenner for each. Tenner on
Oh,
round
let's
one,
do
tenner on round two.
it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I love that. Okay. Thanks, Mark, for your
Interesting
picks. Go
that
ahead.
their odds for a hole in one in round four goes up to 16-1,
Yeah,
which I
because
would.
it's that right pin. No one's going at it. Like,
Yeah, but it's also half the field that I would expect the odds to be higher. Like there's 144 guys in round one and two trying to hit it. They're all
yeah,
the
good
best of the
point.
best. Like there a lot of them are going to hit the green, and but you're getting half the chances in round four. I just
Yeah,
think
it
that's
should be
bad
like 30 to
value.
one.
Yeah,
Yeah, very bad value. Well done, Ben. Good, you're getting good at this.
thanks.
Okay, anything else on the players? While I check
Who
my notes.
lads? I was just a quick one on the players. I was thinking about who would I get the biggest FOMO about if I didn't bet this week, and I put down one name. Sungjae Im is like ridiculous odds in it right now. Like I know he hasn't. He's 55-1. Like he finished tied for 18th at Darren Palmer. He wasn't great before that. Like, but I think we need to see a little bit of Sungjae pretty soon because he's 25 years of age. He's had two PGA Tour victories. Hasn't won in 3 years. But I'm a little bit nervous about him this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Sungjae.
Interestingly, his caddy is Willie Wilcox. He is a pro.
Okay.
Was also like an alcoholic. He's a recovered alcoholic and stuff. He had a bit of a checkered kind of life. But there's a pr on the Wednesday practice day, there's a prize for whichever caddy can hit it closest to the pin. It's including like donations from the players and stuff. Pretty good prize. And like I would be putting my money on Willie Wilcox, the man who has
Yeah.
made money from playing golf to do that.
Did you wait, hold on, is this true? I saw this tweet earlier saying for the caddy competition for the nearest to the pin. The caddy with the tee, this is how hung in the players' locker room, apparently.
Yeah.
The caddy with the tee shot that comes to rest close to the hole will win the donated player funds, an engraved money clip, a framed hand-drawn sketch by Casey Jones, and a preferred parking lot, a sp parking spot in lot two. Swear
That's
me life, lads.
sure the caddies probably wouldn't even have a car for the week. Do you know the way they always go on about the field for the players is the best field in golf?
Yeah, very much not.
So yeah, because it's 144 players and it's the winners of any PGA Tour event since the last players, and then it's the top 125 from the previous season's FedEx. Like, so that doesn't take into account us Europeans, I assume.
No, but they're kind of saying that if you're a good enough European, you'll have played your way in because you'll be playing on the PGA Tour or whatever.
Okay.
It is now a bit of a reach
Because
to
I
call
was
it the
just
best
looking
field
at
in
it.
golf.
Yeah, I was looking at, like, did Aaron, oh, because Aaron Baddeley won last year, didn't he? I just wonder how the hell he keeps showing up in these big events.
I feel like we asked the exact same question on this pod last year.
Every year. Yeah. Have any of you guys watched the Golf Netflix that has been out a few weeks now? Ben, you are nodding your head. No.
No, I haven't, and I will. I'm just, I feel like I'm watching a few other bits, and it
Yeah.
really just did not, it didn't do anything for me last year. And I've seen the screenshot of Justin Thomas having a dig at Mito Pereira, and I'm just like, oh,
I
like, make
know,
me
didn't like
like
that. Which is
stuff like
funny
that.
because, like, we run a golf podcast, but if they released a cycling documentary in the morning, we'd watch every 10 episodes. Foxy, have you watched any of the episodes yet?
I watched episode one last Friday evening. I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was quite a bit better than what we had. A little bit more authentic, a little bit more behind the scenes. I kind of enjoy seeing Rory there because we don't see Rory that much outside of press conferences. So it's nice to get an insight into his life. I saw he listens to the Fried Egg a lot. So maybe next year he'll be listening to the Covered It podcast.
I saw that in his car on his dashboard. He had a load of podcasts and I paused and I was like zooming in to see who's covered it up. Yeah, not a hope. I think I watched maybe three episodes, maybe two and a half, can't remember. But yeah, the Rory stuff, I was obviously riding hard for Rory before, but he just reels you in. You could really sense the pain in his voice when the announcement came about the Live merger with PGA Tour. He was really pissed off, and I felt for him then. Also Ricky, like that episode of Ricky really endeared me to him. And I forgot how much I loved his celebration when he won last year, where he just stood there with the putter and felt so good for Ricky. But sorry, the state of Ricky back in the day. Have you seen videos and clips of Ricky back in the day with the orange and the hat? I didn't know how bad it actually was, but like that hat that he used to wear, it looks like a clown costume. And the flares that he used to have is rotten.
He was really trying to set a trend and it never took off.
Yeah, it's weird.
Fashion is cyclical though. We'll be back to wearing flares in no time.
A couple more notes here.
Sorry, Sean.
Notes. Should we move to Florida?
Does it seem nice down there?
It looks lovely. Looks breezy, but looks nice.
Gets hot. Bit
sorry,
hot
Fo- sorry, Foxy. Go ahead.
It's a bit hot and sticky though in the summer, no? A bit marshy.
Never been.
Yeah. It was lovely when I was there.
Looks like it has a nice breeze though. Sorry, Foxy. Go ahead. What were you going to say there?
Just when you're there talking, because I know I've only watched one episode, but you're there talking about Rory dragging you in and him being so endearing. How good was the clip when he's in the locker room after the PGA Championship? And he's like, I feel like I could finish these. I feel like I could finish within the top 10 in my sleep.
Yeah.
But I've never felt further away from winning. I don't know if he knew that the cameras were there, but by God, that was bloody brilliant.
Such a
TV.
Quote. Like, and it does feel like he can top 10 in majors, like in his sleep. But like talking about the locker room stuff, I love all the locker room chat and the locker room scenes you see there. It's just dudes being dudes. Like the Tommy Fleetwood interaction that he had with Rory is brilliant. Do you know what I noticed though was that it only dawned on me when I saw him being interviewed, but Claude Harmon seems very pissed off. I don't know what about, but it's obviously because his two boys are Brooks and Dustin, and they both left for Live, and they're probably getting slated. But he seems really angry, doesn't he?
Claude Harmon, I cannot stand that man. He comes across like so obnoxious and cocky and arrogant. Like, I understand he's annoyed that people are giving out about his players, but like, he makes no effort to understand where anybody else is coming from. Even when he's speaking to the camera, like, I'd say the person on your end of the camera is like, "Geez, man, don't take it out with me here, please. Yeah. I'm just here to video this." I'm not a big Claude Harmon fan.
No. Finally, I feel kind of sorry for golfers that some of them have to wear hats on nights out to parties and stuff like that because of their, I presume it's because of their tan lines, but I don't know if you saw, there was like a big party or a big event before one of the tournaments, and Keegan Bradley, Ricky, a few of the others, that they're still wearing their golf hat. Like, they're wearing a suit and then their golf hat. And I
never knew
because
that.
Of their, it's not a great look, but I assume it's because of their farmer's tan. But anyway, that's the life they chose.
There was one other takeaway I had from this. Like, how awful is it that pro golfers get ready in locker rooms that are just like our own? Like if you look at like Liverpool or Man United or Man City, like they have state of the art cryotherapy units. They have air, and then a golfer walks into a room with 144 golf bikes scattered throughout the place. They have one tiny little locker. Like it just does not seem like a professional environment.
Yeah, I agree with you, but also at the same time, right? It looks to me like if your club hosted an open championship or a major championship, you're like your locker that you've paid for in your club is going to be used by a professional player. I wonder actually what they leave behind. Do they leave a little note, a little sleeve of Pro Vs?
That's a
Be
good
cool.
point. I love it because it's so much more relatable to what we do. But like, I find a mad Rory there trying to walk in at 7 a.m. in the morning with a coffee and try to dodge Caleb Surratt's golf bike who's stood in the corner.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I love the locker room scenes. But yeah, I'm gonna try and watch a few more episodes this week. Anything else to finish this week, lads?
Ben, you're on mute.
Apologies, I got a phone call. My girlfriend fell off a bike, so I had to run down to her.
Oh no.
I'm
okay,
hoping
well,
she's
we'll
okay.
let you tend to that emergency. Yeah, can't wait to watch the players this week. Scotty's gonna win big. It's gonna happen. And yeah, I like Mr. Scotty Scheffler these days. If there's nothing else, lads, we'll wrap it up. Enjoy your week.
Good luck. Always, guys. See you there.